Are you dissatisfied with your current homeschooling relationships? Do you wish the perfect homeschool community existed in your town? Maybe you're the answer. Before you say, "I could never lead a homeschool community," listen to this episode. You might be surprised to find that you are perfectly fitted to step out in faith and follow a call that God is putting on your heart.
Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the Homeschool Community Builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged, even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you.
Are you being called to be the leader of a new homeschool group? In this episode, you'll learn to discern whether God might be calling you to take on the role of leading a Christian homeschool community. Get ready to get excited. Hi, Pam here, along with Molly and Hannah, and today we're going to talk about how to know if you are called to be a homeschool leader. How do you know? How do you know if this tug on your heart is actually reality or just something in your imagination? But we're going to give you some solid reasons to help you to know whether or not you're called to be a homeschool leader. So the first one is that, guess what? You're here listening.
Yay!
You're here listening. Yeah, we're so excited that you're here. And you're here because you see a need. Either you have a need, your family has a need, or you see the need in other people that are close to you that will probably come alongside you and want to lead along with you. You're also here because listening because you are curious about what other people are doing. And we're so glad that you are, because we want you to step into that calling. You're also here because maybe you need support and you're feeling isolated, and you know that that is not how God wants you to lead your homeschool, your own homeschool as you're with your own family, but also that you don't need to be isolated, and there's other people who are feeling exactly like you are too.
That's the number one reason
you are here listening, that you might be called to be a homeschool leader.
I think sometimes we might think that we're the only ones who need that support, but I'm convinced that if somebody is here listening and that they are interested, that there's other families out there that need them. Like God doesn't call everybody to that. So there's other people out there who are waiting for you to step up.
Yeah, my pastor always says that God doesn't work in isolation. And he doesn't, and neither does he want us to do it either.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next reason that you might be called to be a homeschool leader is that you don't have it all together and you're not the expert. That's kind of a backwards way to say that you don't have to be perfect in order to be a homeschool leader. It doesn't disqualify you if you aren't the perfect homeschooler. I mean, we are all the perfect examples of that, right? We don't always have a clean house. We make mistakes. We're willing to learn from our mistakes. But when we heard the call to step up, we saw the need, and it was more of a, there's a great need and I'm just going to step out in faith. So
it's kind of like, Molly, you know, is anybody ever really ready to have another kid?
Right? Exactly.
Do we ever say, my life is all together, now's the time to have a baby? No, life is messy. Life is full, right? It's the same thing with a homeschool community. You're never going to be in the place where you feel like you have it all together enough to then be able to tackle starting something new like this.
Yeah.
So don't wait for that because it won't happen.
No, exactly. And it's just one step at a time, right? You just have to take that first step and then God will meet you where you're at. When I first stepped up to lead a homeschool group, I was a brand new homeschooler. In fact, I think my oldest was maybe 2 years into homeschooling. She might have been 6 years old. And at the time, I was part of a mom's homeschool support group. It wasn't a co-op, but it was just moms would get together to collaborate and just to support each other in this journey. And the leader was stepping down and nobody else was stepping up. And there were plenty of people who were more experienced than I in that group. But for whatever reason, that wasn't what they wanted to do. But for me, that support and that community was so important that I decided, well, if nobody else is going to do it, I guess I will. And I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm going to just take the next step and do it the way it works for me. And then hopefully people will stay around. And they sure did. And that's how I met Pam. And, you know, that support group was a vital part of my growing in my homeschooling. So it was just a matter of taking that first step. So that's what we want to encourage you, that inexperience is not a disqualifier. Imperfectness, is that a word? imperfection is not a disqualifier. That call that you feel does qualify you to be a leader.
It's kind of like the same situation when you first start homeschooling. When you first start homeschooling, you don't know anything either.
Yeah.
And you had to take a first step there too. And it feels scary and you feel like an alien from outer space until you get connected with people who are like-minded and link arms with you, even just in your homeschool journey. So it's basically one step further beyond that and stepping into leadership, just like what you've already done when you started to homeschool, mm-hmm. if that's where you're at. You may be mm-hmm. just starting to homeschool, but also wanting to create a community. And in that case, you don't might not have that experience. But that's where you just need to know that you just need to bring your loaves and fishes and know that God will fill in the gaps for mm-hmm. you. You don't have to know it all. A leader just goes first. That's all.
Amen. Yep.
And I would say that imposter syndrome is a real thing here, right? You might be questioning, well, I don't have very much experience, or who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm new to this. I haven't been homeschooling long enough. I haven't graduated anybody yet. I wouldn't get caught up in that, because God can work great things.
Yeah.
If you bring your loaves and fishes, like Pam just said. The next thing is, if you are a stabilizer or a builder in your community, you might be called to be a homeschool leader. So those stabilizers, they are the people that will jump in and help anytime they see a need. They don't have to be asked. They look for ways to jump in and help. They're there to serve. Those are very important mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. They are critical to a community.
Yeah. If you are this kind of person, you probably are just willing to do whatever it takes to be a part of what's going on and contribute and kind of joyfully be a part of things, right? A lot of times these people are the ones that are really thankful that somebody else is leading. Because they don't want to do it. And so they just bring what they have to contribute, and they're just so supportive and it's great. But if you are that person, down the road, you might be the one being called to be a leader, because that attitude of support and cooperation and just being a helper is so key also in leadership, right? It's not about being in charge. It's about servant leadership.
Yeah. For one, it just shows that you're willing to invest
mm-hmm.
and And that's the type of people that you want on your team as well.
Yeah.
When I stepped into leadership, when I first stepped into leadership, it was underneath Molly when she was getting ready to leave. And the only reason I stepped into leadership was because I was doing the little newsletter in print shop back then, where you actually printed something off and handed it out to people. Yeah, back then when we did that. And I was willing to do that. I was a stabilizer. I was willing to participate, to volunteer my time, to make this organization a little bit better with some effort. And lo and behold, I became a leader. And that was the last. And even when I became the leader, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But one, I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. I had another friend who was co-leading with me. And so we had one another to both be look at each other and go, what in the world are we doing? And then we just went ahead and we said, well, we'll just do what we want to do. And then people who are like-minded will follow along. And that's how it has been ever since. There will be people, there will be like-minded people that will walk alongside you, and you can do it together. So you just have to be willing to do the tasks and willing to do the work and find other people who are the same, just like you. And you will, because they're like you, and you'll attract each other. So
the fact is, ultimately, God is in control. So he will, what is the baseball thing? If you build it, they will come. Right.
So true.
Someone has to take the leap of faith first, and then God will fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the mistake is thinking that you actually built it, because he's the one that's actually building it. And so just raise your hands in a hallelujah and be so grateful that it's him and not you that's doing it.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. Because we can't do it on our own. Yeah. But then there's also the people in your group that are not just the stabilizers, but then you might be the person who's like the mover and the shaker, or the builder, the person who has lots of ideas and always seeing something that they can change or improve, or has lots of energy and like, hey, can we try this? Or can we do a different thing? These people are those, they turn their ideas into reality. And they are, again, they're also willing to put in the effort and put in the work to make something happen. So they don't just stabilize what exists, but a lot of times they're out there to change and improve. And if you are one of these people, you might be called to lead your own thing, because your ideas are often just, they're great. Like they're different, and you've thought about things and you've got this great idea. And if that idea is in your head, maybe God put it there and he wants you to do something with it. So if you're that person, don't stuff those ideas down, you know, let them come out and be willing to make some of those changes, or maybe make a new community if that's what is needed.
That's kind of the role that I play. So I am somebody that is more of an inventor, a visionary. Like, I have a lot of big ideas. Sometimes they're scary to people. And so I just wait until, you know, they say that a community or a group can only change like 20 or 30%. So you don't want to overwhelm people with your big ideas. But when you have an amazing team alongside you, I always say that they let me have my ideas and then they make them come true for me. They listen to my dreams and they make them come true, because I cannot do the stuff that the stabilizers do, that to implement the logistical kind of things. Our board, there's five of us on our board. When we're all on board with something, then it's a beautiful thing, because then I provide a lot of ideas and vision, and then they make it happen. It's so awesome.
That's why you need more people than just you, right?
That's right. There's no way. I mean, it would just be me daydreaming with my ideas, you know, if I didn't have our team. And sometimes my ideas are way over the top and I need somebody to help hold my feet to the ground and be realistic and discern whether or not those ideas are really beneficial for the whole community. Mm-hmm. And that's where your team is invaluable. It's the way that we actually make some decisions is that you know, if somebody has a yellow light or a pause, so we kind of do like yellow, green light, red light, go, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody has a yellow light, it's like that's the Holy Spirit, and you want to be able to trust the people that you're with so that you can pause and make sure that until you get that green light to go. But
that's probably
a whole nother podcast.
But I have a question for you. So when you have these big ideas and you're willing to share them, if somebody shoots them down, do you feel like you're a terrible person? Or, I mean, does that make you feel like you're invalidated? Or I'm speaking to the person who has big ideas. I want them not to be afraid to bring them up. But if they're not, if it's not the time for them, to encourage them not to feel bad, like there's nothing wrong with the idea, there's nothing wrong with you, keep bringing those ideas up, because there will be a time when that's right. And it's
And I think that those ideas start as questions, whether you're starting with something that doesn't work and you're asking questions, well, what can I do to make this better? What's the solution to this problem? Should we even be doing this? Does this make any sense? Like, are we just doing this for the sake of doing this? Asking questions is where vision, I think, comes from, mm-hmm, and resolving problems, or seeing that there's a problem and then creating ideas. And maybe those are two different jobs too, like, mm-hmm, asking questions might be one job, and then being able to, your question was whether I feel invalidated. I will say it kind of depends on the approach. You know, if somebody's like just shutting it down without, you know, talking or being curious or asking more questions, then I might feel invalidated. But I know that God has put this team together, and more than me just wanting what I want the community to be what God wants it to be. And I know myself, so I will tell you, when you step into leadership, you will step into personal growth, and sometimes that doesn't always feel great, because mm-hmm, you're in the fire and you're being refined, and that is a good thing. And so also having people who can discern around you and keep you from going down a path that's not going to be good for your community is going to save time and pain down the road. So you really, like we talked about, you talked about Hannah, Molly, about when you make mistakes, about being willing to be humble early, mm-hmm, on. Humility is a huge part of leadership. And if you can be humble and accept criticism and accept the discernment, knowing that it's because the people on your team love you and they want what's best for the community, you won't go wrong, and you won't feel invalidated. Yeah. You'll feel grateful that you have people who can balance you out.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the one man show. Trust me, you do not.
Yeah,
especially
that's right.
When the poo-poo hits the fan.
Yeah. And I would like to speak to the person, to the woman who maybe doesn't have a team yet, that maybe the inkling is there. And then what do you do with that? You ask people to join you in prayer. Could be people from your group. If you are in a homeschool group, it can be people from church. It can be family. It could be a mentor, someone that you trust, but get them to come alongside you to seek out what God's will is for you, your hopefully potential community that's not too far off.
And communicate with them, talk to them, ask questions. That's the builder group. So let's recap a little bit. So you know that you could be being called to be a homeschool leader if you are here listening because you see a need, if you are humble and you're willing to learn from your mistakes, if you're willing to do the tasks. You got to be willing to work. You can't be a dictator and over everybody and just delegating. You got to get your feet in there and get your, or
Get your hands dirty.
Get your hands dirty.
Get your feet in the water.
I was thinking about dipping your toe in the water and getting your hands dirty. So get your feet in the dirtiness and wash your hands. I don't know. But you got to be willing to do the work. So you need to be solution oriented, willing to work through challenges, willing to learn, right? Humble through the constructive criticism, and be willing to compromise for the good of your community. And if you can pray about it and find other people like that, you are going to have an amazing team. I promise you, if you are being called, God will provide that for you. You do not have to worry. You can just rest right now and abide in his peace, knowing that he is already working on people right now. In this moment, as you're listening to this, you're probably having somebody come into your mind right now that you are thinking, oh, that's my sister. She would totally do this with me. Or she would, you know, she's always willing to compromise. She can take criticism. So those are some of the reasons that you can lean on as to why you may be called to be a homeschool leader. I don't know why I always feel like I need to. I think it's because of that guy. You know, you're a redneck.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your sign. That's why I keep doing that. I don't know. You're not a redneck if you're a homeschool leader.
That's
but
right.
But you could be.
You might be.
So
what's the last thing, Pam?
The last thing is if you are scared and don't think you can. Okay, because we're all scared.
That's right.
You will be scared as a homeschool leader many times, just like you are right now as a homeschooler.
That's
you just will be. There will be times. So humility and courage, but the third piece is also obedience. Mm-hmm. Because if God is calling you, he's given you this vision of what could be, and he's asking you to join him. He doesn't need you to join him, but I'm telling you, you join him, you will have an adventure of a lifetime. You will be able to experience Jesus in a way that you maybe never have before. So
yeah, I love about doing hard things, stepping out in faith and being afraid and still doing it, is that God shows up in ways that he never would have had the opportunity to do unless you were willing to make that step, right? And so you get to see him act and supply your needs in ways that you never would if you were just very self-sufficient, which is a comfortable place to be, right? It's uncomfortable and it's scary. It's out of people's comfort zone to step out and not know what is going to happen. But God provides. I mean, I'm thinking right now of when we lost our facility of where we were meeting for our group during COVID because of all the stuff going on. And the way God provided a new facility for us was just amazing. It was better. It was more friendly.
It was easy.
It was easy. It was in a better
location.
We
didn't have to convince anyone. Like, he literally just presented it to us on a silver platter. And it has been such a beautiful and wonderful relationship ever since it started.
Yeah.
So it was God ordained for sure.
That is the testimony that God is who he says he was, and will do what he says he will do. He says that he can do above and beyond what you can think or imagine, and he will lavish you with his blessings when you are obedient. That's why he asks us to be obedient to him.
Yeah.
So courage, obedience, humility, those three things, if you can find somebody or two or three to come along with you, you will know. You encourage is just fear. But going ahead and acting anyway, you know, who gives us that fear is the enemy, right? He wants to keep you from experiencing those wonderful moments, those wonderful testimonies, those ones that just make tears come to your eyes because you're like, God is real and he knows me and he's intimate and he wants to engage with you and your community right here. So just trust, you got to trust. You just be scared. Recognize who that fear is from. You know that perfect love casts out fear. You don't have to be afraid. Your God, your Lord loves you, and he is providing. He will provide for you.
So, Hannah, do you want to recap the main points of how we know that you might be a homeschool group leader?
I'd love to. Good. So you might be a homeschool group leader or called to be a homeschool group leader. If you see a need, you don't have it all together, but you're willing to be humble and work with others. You're a stabilizer or a builder. And finally, you have fear, but you're courageous.
I'd like to end with a verse. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10 says, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and will not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
I love that, because see how many times it says, "I have chosen you. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you." It's not you are your servant. You have chosen you. You won't fear you, you know. Mm-hmm. It's him. He's going to do it for us. Remember that. Stick mm-hmm. that in deep down in your mind, because you will forget by the time you turn this podcast off.
That's right.
Remember. Okay, so we hope this has been an encouragement to you. We'd love to connect with you. Join us on our free Facebook group. It's She Leads by Faith. We'll see you there, and thanks for joining us. Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in, then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select Shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see Ratings and Review, then click on Write a Review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.